At the top of the cliff, the globe wavered for a moment, tipped onto a railed ramp, rolled down it to a small concave platform, and riddled to a halt. To tremendous applause, Zaphod Beeblebrox stepped out of the bubble, his orange sash blazing in the light. The President of the Galaxy had arrived. He waited for the applause to die down, then raised his hand in greeting. "Hi," he said. A government spider sidled up to him and attempted to press a copy of his prepared speech into his hands. Pages 3 to 7 of the original version were at the moment floating soggily on the Damagrin Sea some 5 miles out from the bay. Pages 1 and 2 had been salvaged by a Damagrin frond-crested eagle and had already become incorporated into an extraordinary new form of nest which the eagle had invented. It was constructed largely of papier-mâché, and it was virtually impossible for a newly hatched baby eagle to break out of it. The Damagrin frond-crested eagle had heard of the notion of survival of the species, but wanted no truck with it. Zaphod Beeblebrox would not be needing his set speech, and he gently deflected the one being offered him by the spider. "Hi," he said again. Everyone beamed at him, or at least nearly everyone. He singled out Trillian from the crowd. Trillian was a girl that Zaphod had picked up recently while visiting a planet, just for fun, incognito. She was slim, darkish, humanoid, with long waves of black hair, a full mouth, an odd little knob of a nose, and ridiculously brown eyes. With her red headscarf knotted in that particular way and her long, flowing, silky brown dress, she looked vaguely Arabic. Not that anyone there had ever heard of an Arab, of course. The Arabs had very recently ceased to exist. And even when they had existed, they were 500,000 light-years from Damagrin. Trillian wasn't anybody in particular, or so Zaphod claimed. She just went around with him rather a lot and told him what she thought of him. "Hi, honey," he said to her. She flashed him a quick, tight smile and looked away. Then she looked back for a moment and smiled more warmly. But by this time, he was looking at something else. "Hi," he said to a small knot of creatures from the press, who were standing nearby, wishing that he would stop saying hi and get on with the quotes. He grinned at them particularly because he knew that in a few moments he would be giving them one hell of a quote. The next thing he said, though, was not a lot of use to them. One of the officials of the party had irritably decided that the president was clearly not in a mood to read the deliciously turned speech that had been written for him and had flipped the switch on the remote control device in his pocket. Away in front of them, a huge white dome that bulged against the sky, cracked down the middle, split, and slowly folded itself down into the ground. Everyone gasped, although they had known perfectly well it was going to do that, because they'd built it that way. Beneath it lay uncovered a huge starship, 150 meters long, shaped like a sleek running shoe, perfectly white and mind-bogglingly beautiful. At the heart of it, unseen, lay a small gold box, which carried within it the most brain-wrenching device ever conceived, a device that made this starship unique in the history of the galaxy, a device after which the ship had been named. The Heart of Gold. "Wow," said Zaphod Beeblebrox to the Heart of Gold. There wasn't much else he could say. He said it again because he knew it would annoy the press. "Wow." The crowd turned their faces back toward him expectantly. He winked at Trillian, who raised her eyebrows and widened her eyes at him. She knew what he was about to say and thought him a terrible show-off. "That is really amazing," he said. "That really is truly amazing. That is so amazingly amazing, I think I'd like to steal it." A marvellous presidential quote, absolutely true to form. The crowd laughed appreciatively, the newsmen gleefully punched buttons on their sub-ether newsmatics, and the president grinned. As he grinned, his heart screamed unbearably, and he fingered the small paralyzomatic bomb that nestled quietly in his pocket. Finally, he could bear it no more. He lifted his heads up to the sky, let out a wild whoop in major thirds, threw the bomb to the ground, and ran forward through the sea of suddenly frozen, beaming smiles.